So we're doing Tana de Eliyahu, and Medrash begins with a quote from the beginning of the Torah, where Adam was chased out of the Garden of Eden. The pasuk says, "Vayigarish et ha'adam." God chased Adam out of the Garden of Eden. Milamed, this teaches us, "Shenatan lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu gerushin ki isha," that God gave him a divorce contract like to a woman. "Vayashken mikedem legan Eden et ha'keruvim." The verse says that God established at, to the east of the Garden of Eden, the Sheraf angels. Milamed shakuvim kodmin lemaaseh bereshit. So the Medrash learns that mikedem legan Eden could mean to the east of the Garden of Eden, or it could mean like mikodem, before the Garden of Eden. And the Medrash is learning that God created these angels before all of creation. And then says God placed at the entrance to the Garden of Eden that lahat acherev amitapechet, and this the sharpness of the sword that's constantly turning over. You with me? So the Medrash. Where's the what? Lahat acherev amitapechet. You don't have that in your Midrash? How does your Midrash continue? So I think those are the footnotes. Could that be? Yeah, maybe if you turn over the page to the next page, you'll have the continuation without the footnotes. Yeah, so Zugeinam. So the Medrash says, when it says the God established near the Garden of Eden is the sharpness of the sword that keeps turning around, that's a reference to Geinam. Yeah? Lishmor et derech, to watch the way, zo derech eretz. So that's the way of mankind, which can be understood either, derech eretz usually means like making a parnasa, like the regular way of the land. Yeah, you have the text now? Or derech eretz sometimes refers to the way a man is with his wife. So, whichever way we'll understand, the Medrash says, "Melamed shederech eretz kadma lakol." This is, teaches us that the way of the land, derech eretz, preceded everything. And then it says, this is all in gardens of Eitz HaChaim, the tree of life. En Eitz Chaim ela Torah. There's no other tree of life other than the Torah. As the verse says, Eitz Chaim hi lamachazikim ba, Shneimar, Eitz Chaim hi lamachzikim ba. The Torah is a tree of life for those that hold on to it. So what the Medrash tells so far? The Medrash says God chased Adam out of Garden of Eden, and that means that God gave him a divorce contract just as one gives to a woman. So to an extent, the beginning of creation was a distancing. God says, okay, now you got to get out of here, get out of the Garden of Eden. And then there's a protector. What are the protectors? God says, okay, I have these angels and I have Gehenim, and those are going to separate man from the Garden of Eden and keep him out. And they're going to keep him out of what? What's the tree of life that can connect him? That's the Torah. If he holds on to the Torah, then he's got a connection to life. If not, then he's got all these separations that the Medrash equates with like a divorce contract, that God says now he's going to be distanced. He's going to be out of the Garden of Eden. He's given the option of the Tree of Life. He's given the Torah, which can connect him back inside to the Garden of Eden. But all these separations, the Medrash says, it's like a divorce contract. Now God says, from the beginning of creation, really, Adam began inside the Garden of Eden, and God, after he sinned, God chased him out, gave him a divorce contract, and now there are all these separations. He can overcome those separations with the Tree of Life, with the Torah, but without that, he has all those separations. So the Midrash continues. The Midrash says, you have strength to continue? The Midrash says, and this is like Birchas HaTorah. You know, we make a blessing before we start learning Torah. So the Midrash continues really with like this blessing on the Torah. Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. Blessed is God who is omnipresent. He's like the Makom. He's the place. Blessed is He. Shemakil Barosh Ubasof. That He knows from the beginning and in the end. Umagid Me'eshit Acharit. And He can say from the beginning what's going to be in the end. Mikedem Ad Shelo Na'asa. He knows from the beginning, before anything's done, He knows what the outcome's going to be. V'yodeh Ma Shena'asa. He knows what's been done. U'ma She'atid Le'asot. And what's going to be done. V'tzofe L'tova V'en Tzofe L'ra'a. This is one of the most powerful lines. If there's one line I remember from the Tan D'Belio, it's this line. That God, even though He knows our future, He's always looking out that good should come. And He's not looking for the bad. Meaning sometimes, you know your kid isn't listening to you. Your son tells you, Dad, I need 10 shekel. I want to go to the makolet. And you know he's not going to the makolet with those 10 shekel. So you could be on the lookout. Okay, when's he going to go and use that to buy baseball cards or whatever it is? God says, even though I know where things are headed, I'm always looking for the good. Maybe they'll be able to make it into good. Maybe they'll still... God's always looking to see us do good. He's waiting in anticipation of the good. People sometimes are in anticipation of the bad, like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And the Midrash stresses, even though God knows the future, He's always looking for the good. And that's, I always felt that's something I try to take away from the Midrash. I'm telling you, it's the one line I remember by heart from Tan D'Belio, that God's trade is even when He knows what He's anticipating, because we have Kriya Chofshit, God says, I'm still expecting for the good. Ve'ashir, God is wealthy, He's got everything. V'samech b'cherko, and He's happy in His portion, in His lot. Now this is very fundamental, because one of the basic questions is, why did God ever create this world? And whatever answer you're going to give seems to be in contradiction of this line. Because was God lacking anything before He created the world? Whatever answer you're going to give, on some level, you're going to end up saying, if you're going to try to answer, that God needed something, that God was lacking something. God wasn't lacking, but he now He's happier. So that doesn't work, right? You with me? So philosophically, we can't really understand why God created the world. It's a question that really contradicts the existence of God. We can know that God reveals to us our perspective on why He created the world, but we can't really understand why. So I think that's the point the Midrash is telling us. You should know God's got everything. He's happy with what He has. He's not missing anything. Uvichochmato uvitmunato, and with His wisdom and His understanding, bara olamo, He created His world. So the Midrash is saying, don't think He was lacking something. No, out of His wisdom, we don't understand it. With His wisdom and understanding, He saw fit to create this world. Vehechino, and He established it. V'achar kach, and after God created the world, bara et ha'adam, He created man. Vehishlit lefanav, and He gave man power before Him. Meaning, man very often feels like, I have power, I can do. We feel like we control things. So the Midrash is reminding us, yeah, God gave us control. That's how God created us here. V'ayamidekdek bo adsof kol adorot. And God was looking closely at man, the way man would evolve, till the end of generations. V'tzafa, and God foresaw, shetoledotav matzifot, that man's offsprings ultimately would get God angry. They would arouse God's wrath. Amar, God said, im mishamer ani lo chovot harishonim, if I hold on to man's initial sins, if I hold on to what man's done wrong, in olam omed, the world can't exist. If I'm going to keep an accounting and I'm going to hold on to, wait, one second, he did this wrong, he did that wrong. Well, if I'm going to really keep an accounting, then the world can't stand. Alay lehavir rishonim. My responsibility, God says, is to forgo the first things that he's done wrong. Vekach asah, and that's what God really did. There's an important point in any relationship. The second there's a scorecard, you lost. Rabbi Feinstein once said, anyone that's contemplating divorce will decide on divorce. He said, there's no marriage that can live up to the test of, is this right? Because once you're asking, is this right, what you're doing is you're starting to take an accounting. And if you're taking an accounting, then it's endless, because on any given day, any two people that are in close proximity are going to do a myriad of things that are really annoying to one another. So if you're willing to let it slide, so then you can keep building. If you're starting to keep a scorecard and ask yourself, well, does it make sense? No marriage is going to make sense. That's, I think, one of the smartest things I ever heard about marriage. Rabbi Feinstein, a guy came to him who was already, like, they were separated, and they were ready for reconcilement. Like, they were willing to try for give it a second chance. So he told the guy, you could only go back if you decide it's going to work. Not if you're asking, will it work? Because if you're asking, will it work, well, that's this medrash. Then you'll have a question mark, and if you're taking an accounting, well, on an accounting, nothing's ever going to work. You with me? Alay la'avir rishonim. God says, I have to forego the first things. V'kach asah, that's what God did. Minayin, how do we know that's so? Kedah lecha shuken, I'll prove it to you. You should know it's so, the Medrash says. Shayu Yisrael b'midbar, when the Jewish people were in the desert, salchu b'masehim, they messed up with their actions. Sachu really means they spoiled their actions. Amad la'avir et kol asher asu. So God arose to pass all that they had done. Shenemar, as the verse says, Vayavor Hashem al panav. After the Jewish people sinned, they complained when God took them out of Mitzrayim. They didn't believe, and they complained when they didn't have food. And then they built up sin after sin till they reached the golden calf. Was it say Moshe prayed, and God passed over his face. So, Al Tikra, don't read the verse that it means, Vayavor, that God passed over Moshe's face in prayer, when Moshe was in prayer. Ela, but rather, Vayavir, that God passed their sins from before him. Melamed, this teaches us, Sheheavir kol ra'atam mineged panav, that God agreed to pass all of their iniquity, all their sins, all their bad from before him. Vayikra, and then it says Moshe called out, Hashem, Hashem, teida lecha b'modechai. Yeah? So the Medrash says, and I'll prove it to you from another instance, from the story of Mordechai. You remember Mordechai and Esther, there was a decree in Shushan, right? B'sha'a she'dibrai mo Esther, at the time that Esther spoke to Mordechai, devarim shelo kahog, and she spoke improperly. Mordechai tells her, the Jewish people are in need, we need you, Esther, go before the king. Esther says, you know what, the king hasn't called me in 30 days, if I go, I'm dead. So Mordechai says, what's wrong with you? The whole Jewish people is at peril now, and you're worried that maybe the king won't be happy that you walked in before him. So she spoke improperly. Katzafala. Mordechai got upset at her. Ve'lo en dvarim shedibra shelo kahogen, and here's what she said improperly. B'sha'a she'amra, at the time that she said to Mordechai, Vani lo nikaiti, she tells Mordechai that I haven't been called to come before the king for 30 days now. Ma'e shiva, what does Mordechai tell her? Ki, im hacharish tacharishi ba'et hazot. Esther, I'm warning you, if you're going to be quiet now when the Jewish people need you, you will be wiped out, you and your whole family. I'm telling you, you have a choice now. Either stand up to bat and help the Jewish people, and if your concern is going to be, but I'm not so lovey-dovey with the king now, it's not the time to go, well, you should know, then you're going to be lost. And when she came back and did speak properly, she said, you know what, Mordechai, I'm going to go. Okay, you fast and pray for me 3 days and then I'm going. Then he gave in, he said, I'll do exactly what you want. And this is what she said that was proper. When she said to Mordechai, Lech kenos et kol ha-yudim, go, gather the Jewish people, all of you should pray and then I'll go in. Mordechai said, I'll do whatever you want. You're the boss. You tell me to do it that way, I'll do it that way. Shenemar, as the verse says, Vaya'avo Mordechai. Mordechai passed over to do what she said. He said, I'll communicate whatever you say. You're the boss. Vomer, and the verse also tells us, and there's another proof that this is the way God wants the world to run. The verse says, Mi el kamocha, who is the potent one, the powerful one like you, God, Noseavon, who's willing to carry our sin, Vover al pesha, and willing to forgo when we're rebellious. V'la'alanu omer, and the other verse says, Golmi ra'u einecha. I've seen the way you fashion things, God. This is the way you created the world. Yeah, wow.